Hello, Vancouver. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from UBC campus on the traditional unceded Coast Salish lands of the Musqueam people. This is the third episode of Babe Waves, which is the sequel to Lady Radio, and it's brought to you by the currently rebranding Women's Collective. I'm Amna, and today I'm joined in the studio by Hayo, Lyra, Elsie, and our special guest, Stella. So we'd like to open today's show with some words from Lyra on Transgender Day of Remembrance. Go ahead, Lyra.
Hey, everyone. Lyra here. I'm a white settler trans woman from the States and a second-year master's student at the UBC Social Justice Institute. As you may know, November is Trans Awareness Month, and this week is Trans Awareness Week. Trans Day of Remembrance is an annual event that is specifically reserved for trans, non-binary, and two-spirit people to come together in community with our allies to remember our siblings who have been lost to transphobic violence. Trans, non-binary, and two-spirit people experience marginalization across the world, which means that we face high risks of suicide, poverty, homelessness, sexual assault, and murder. The violence of transphobia is complicated and exacerbated by other systems of oppression, including racism, misogyny, ableism, and classism. And while it's so important that we take time as a community to remember the beautiful lives that have been taken too soon, allies also need to work harder every day to affirm trans people, especially trans feminine people of color, while we're still living. This means educating yourself rather than expecting trans people to educate you. This means risking social rejection and isolation in order to speak out against the transphobia that isn't aimed at you so that we don't have to. Because we take all those risks and more just to live authentically, and we do that educating and activism every day. So just so you know, the main Vancouver Trans Day of Remembrance vigil will be this coming Sunday, November 20th from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Carnegie Community Center downtown. And that's on the main floor. And then UBC Pride is holding its own event on Monday, November 21st from 3 to 7 p.m. in the Hatch Art Gallery on the second floor of the Nest. Thanks for listening. Thanks for having me. And I hope you always live your truth unapologetically.
Thank you so much, Lyra. So this is very important. And so we'll actually be discussing it more in depth on our episode next week. So we're going to take a little break, and after we get back from that, we'll be airing an interview I did with Ree Blossom, who is a local DJ and creative and one of the founders of Intercessions. And then warning, there is actually a little bit of explicit language in the interview, so be careful if you're a kid. But yeah, PSAs.
Discorder,
a magazine from CITR 101.9 FM,
presents a showcase of emerging Vancouver-based hip-hop artists Friday, November 18th at the Media Club.
The lineup is comprised of some of the most talked about and should be talked about hip-hop artists in Vancouver,
including So Loki, Missy D, Romy, Something August, Spotty Joseph, and Freeman Young, with CITR's Crimes and Treasons DJing and emceeing this 19-plus event.
We them boys! Be sure to come check us out. We're Crimes and Treasons Radio. We're going to be hosting and DJing at the Media Club. Be sure to come check us out.
Crimes and Treasons.
For more information and tickets, visit discorder.ca.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hello, you're listening to Babe Waves. I'm Amna, and today I'm here interviewing Ree Blossom. Ree, tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm Ree Blossom. I'm a 19-year-old agender creative. I do event production. I do painting, DJing, music stuff. And a large part of what I do, as I mentioned before, is event production and community organizing. So part of that that we're going to talk about this episode, I suppose, is Intersessions, which is an inclusive sound initiative. And what that is to us is DJ workshops for women and anyone on the LGBTQ2 spectrum, anyone gender nonconforming. So that's what we're about, just kind of providing DJ workshops to begin with, and then as we move on and hopefully we get funding, we're going to do production workshops and things like that.
So you grew up in Coquitlam around Vancouver, right?
Yeah. So I grew up in Coquitlam and basically almost dropped out of high school and moved straight downtown and just started kind of jumping into, again, event production and doing projects with queer teens and, connecting with the community here in that way and trying to mix, like, activism and social issues and, you know, world perspectives with art and learning and creativity and things like that. So, yeah.
So how did you get into DJing? Like, what made you want to start Intersessions? What kind of gap did you see in Vancouver that needed to be filled?
So basically the Kickstarter for, I mean, I've always been really, really interested in music and I love it and I love playing it, but I never had, you know, any confidence in, you know, wanting to pursue it because I never saw myself represented in any of those spaces. So as someone who's gender nonconforming, that really isn't something that you see very often in a club. No one's really wanting to out themselves, whatever, that's fine. But even, you know, as someone who presents to other people as femme or whatever, I never really saw a lot of women or femmes out there DJing as well in Vancouver. Or if it was, it was maybe like the same one person, but no one knew being brought on and all these bros, whatever. So what happened was Chippy Nonstop, who is one of my best friends, we didn't know each other at the time, but she got deported from America, or from the U.S., and we met in Vancouver, and she is just, she's been doing music for, since she was, like, I don't know, 16 or 17 or something, and she's 24 now. She's been doing it for a minute, and she has so much confidence, and it just inspired me a lot, because she's been through an insane amount of bullshit as a woman of color in, you know, a predominantly white male industry. And for her to, like, kind of step in on the scene where I was feeling so left out and so, like, uninspired, for her to just come in and be so confident was really inspiring to me. So when she met me and we became friends, she was like, you're being annoying. Like, you have to just jump into it. And she kind of forced me. She was like, you like music. Like, you have a knack for it. You can mix. Like, I'm going to teach you how to use these programs and, like, let's just do it. So she really, in my mind, you know, to help get that along for me. And then as that kind of connection happened, she would always talk about her issues with the industry and how she sees that this is a constant problem for people who aren't represented, specifically women and people who are queer or whatever. So then we were like, oh, we really want to do an event. We want to do something where we can create that same learning experience that she provided for me and that she's been yearning to see forever. So we hit up, you know, some good friends of ours. We hit up Sophie Sweetland. Her DJ production name is, D Tiffany, and she runs Sweet Pup with Jake Olson. So she right away was on board, and she was super excited about it. So she's, like, one of the, like, initial members or whatever of Intersessions. And then Ainsley Willow, who's Shy Daughter, and she does all our graphics, and she's one of the main staff members and co-founders as well. So she's always been very vocal about those same issues in Vancouver, doing a lot of, like, activism online and stuff with it. So it was, like, super natural for us to all come together for that first one. I think that was in May?
No, or 2016?
Of 2015. 2016.
Wow, so yeah. Very recent, huh?
Yeah, it all started super recent, and it really picked up fast.
Yeah, that was my next question I was going to say, because I knew it was pretty young, but I didn't realize it was that new. So I saw you guys had some workshops in Berlin and one's coming up in Mexico City.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So the answer to all that really is, you know, obviously us working together, but a huge part of it is just Chippy is such a hard worker. She has so many connections. She just gets things done. You know, most of the ones that are, really all of the ones that are, like, international, she has organized, and she's, you know, used her connections, and she's going to kill me for saying this, but her social clout or whatever, to make those happen. So that's just, like, another instance where I'm in awe of her. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's incredible in that way, and she really knows how to do organizing and stuff. But, yeah, so we started with Vancouver, and then we did Toronto, Montreal, because Chippy moved to Toronto. So we did Toronto, Montreal, then we did Vancouver again, and then we did New York and Berlin, and we did Montreal again and Ottawa, and now we're about to do Mexico City, Vancouver, and New York. I'm, like, nice. Trying to think about it all. Yeah.
So what's the format of a workshop like, and who teaches it? How do you reach out to people?
So it's definitely developed a lot since the first one. The first one was literally we just kind of all our best friends who DJ we were teaching. But we always have a vinyl teacher, someone who teaches Traktor, sometimes with a controller, sometimes not. Sometimes someone who teaches
Traktor.
So Traktor is like a mixing software, DJing software. You can like make remixes on it and stuff too. But I think like the importance of, so we do vinyl, Traktor, Serato, which is a lot like Traktor in many ways as well. It's kind of something you can just download on your computer. And then CDJs, which are like the big hardware or whatever that mm-hmm. are in most clubs, and that's kind of like the regular thing, most used thing or whatever. But I think the important thing about having all those options within the workshops is that just for accessibility reasons, so, you know, with Traktor and Serato, these are things that you can either, like, legally download or buy for not that much money, and you have it on your computer, you can DJ on your computer, and if you need to buy hardware, it's really not so expensive. But CDJs are, like $2,000 or $3,000, and, you know, no one owns them except for clubs, and so...
Right, but people can try them at the workshop?
Yeah. Okay, so we definitely make that available.
Nice. So what do students need to bring?
Students... only there's a little cat here. Students only need to bring themselves and, you know, headphones if they're germaphobes or whatever, but we usually have that. It's, you know, recommended to bring a USB if you really want to play your own tracks. That's mm-hmm. kind of, you right. know, how mixing happens, is really knowing your tracks. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we make sure
a laptop with you?
No. So we all have laptops with all the software on it already.
Okay.
But that's again, you know, sometimes okay. Yeah, but sometimes because, you know, software, especially if you're, like, cracking it, mm-hmm. is really confusing to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're like, oh, we'll just bring your computer and we'll help you download it or whatever.
Nice. Okay,
yeah. Awesome. But to answer your question, sorry to go off, but to answer your question, the way it's evolved is it started out as that sort of buffet style. We kind of teach, like, a couple of different ways of DJing. And we've been doing that for most of them, but I think going forward we're going to experiment not only with that same structure, but also doing focused ones on specific, you know, vessels of DJing. So right. we'll have, like, just weekly sessions of CDJs or just weekly sessions of vinyls. People can get really into it. That's all I'm going to say.
So when you're taking intersessions to another city, how does that work? Do you seek out local DJs to be teachers? How do you, I guess, go about marketing it, letting the word out that it's, like, an inclusive workshop? How does that go?
So I think the first thing we look at, especially when we, you know, are trying to make sure that it's inclusive and it reads that way, is we always book, always try to book teachers who are local, who are women or queer or whatever, without, you know, being tokenizing or exploitative. But always trying to book those people who are, you know, representing the brand and representing, you know, the ethos of the project. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is kind of just, you know, our language that we use within mm-hmm. the actual online event pages and on our Instagram or whatever, just always, you know, really drilling into the spaces that this is a place for, you know, queers and girls and anyone on that spectrum, and just making it very aware that people are welcome. And we've definitely had missteps in the past, and we learned from it, and we're just always kind of soldiering on and making sure that we are really aware about, language and stuff and how that affects people.
I'm interested in that because I was going to ask, what's the feedback like? What's the follow-up been? What kind of things have you found you've needed to change?
So we've had a lot of great feedback, like some, like, you know, corny emotional shit that I love, whatever.
Love that.
Where people are like, you know, I kind of came out because, yeah, I'm interested in DJing, but wow. I just wanted a place to feel valued as a human being in general. Wow. Like, there were some people who came out and, you know, they didn't end up actually really liking DJing that much, mm-hmm. but they still were like, I want to come back and just
That's
hang
amazing.
Out. So that was cool. But then we've had the opposite where people are like, you know, there have been situations where, you know, we don't feel included in certain ways. In the beginning, Intersessions was very much branded as kind of like a girl power thing, mm-hmm. and that left out a lot of people who are gender nonconforming and who aren't femmes. So that's something that we had to fix and really listen to as well. So, yeah, we just are learning and we're trying to, you know, make it a really safe space for everyone going forward and, yeah, doing it all on our own, but trying to get it right.
Yeah. So what is a safe space to you? What does that mean?
So safe space to me is somewhere that is like physically accessible to mm-hmm. anyone who might have trouble going upstairs, whatever. Having bathrooms that preferably don't cater to the binary, so just having mm-hmm. one bathroom or whatever. Having teachers who represent as many diverse identities as possible. Mm-hmm. Having all the teachers and all the volunteers and people involved be really aware of people's pronouns, people's identities, and not being disrespectful in any way, using slurs, whatever.
Yeah.
And then another thing that was really important that I'm pretty sure this DJ, she's really cool. Her name's Bambi. She's from Toronto.
Okay.
And I think she, at the Toronto or Montreal workshop, brought up really heavily the issue of appropriation in music.
Okay.
And that's something that she's really passionate about, and it's so relevant, and that is part, in my opinion, that's part of creating a safe space, is mm-hmm. talking about something that everyone commits, mm-hmm. you know, appropriation in music. No one really plays anything that's, like, made by white people, because what does, like, what good music do white people actually make? I'm sorry, that's, like, mean, but,
no, it's
like, literally, so... So just the importance of kind of giving credit where it's due and things
no,
like that.
That's a good thing to talk about. You don't talk about it as appropriating. You see it more visually.
Yeah, totally.
In art, or in, a lot of times it's in fashion or clothing or like decor and things that shouldn't be considered decoration. But yeah, that's a really good point, bringing up the issue of appropriation and acknowledging it as that in music.
Yeah, props to Bambi on that. That was fully her.
Yeah. I guess I'm curious about, like, what do you find empowering about music or doing something like a DJ workshop? You were talking about how some people came and they said, I'm not really even into DJing. I just wanted a place, a space like this where I felt accepted and I would come just to hang out. But you seem to have, you have your hands in the, like, or what is the phrase, fingers in many different pies. You have a lot of different creative things going on. So what do you think is valuable about that? Why is that empowering?
I mean, even, you know, let's pretend that I don't care about DJing or whatever, you know, being in a space where there's all these people who are very sensitive and complex, and everyone's sensitive and complex, but I mean, the people who identify openly as queer and are girls are typically more in tune with their emotions and able to be more vulnerable. So when you're in a like room full of all these physical beings who are just so open and friendly and hurting and all these things, it's like such a cathartic spiritual experience, regardless of if you're doing nothing or if you're teaching a practice. So I think for people who, you know, if they come in and they don't really like DJing, the reason that they've ended up liking it is because they make great friends. And a lot of, you know, random people who have come through who just found out about it through the internet, like, I'm still in contact with, and some of them have become my really good friends. And it's just like about making, you know, it's about using music the way I think it should be used, is making connections, making friends, like having, you know, this sort of not bloodline family through that.
People.
I know that's mad, that's so corny,
no,
but that's
no,
what
no,
happens.
No, it's true.
It just
true.
Organically happens.
Right?
Yeah. But I mean, if people don't, you know, fuck with DJing, that's cool. It's not for everyone. But it's definitely something you can work at, and mm-hmm. I think anyone can kind of get it. But, you know, there's so many other things that me and my friends try to do in in the art scene in Vancouver, and we're trying to develop, so it's always kind of intersected. Do you like that? Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, me and my two best friends, Nazlina Jaffe and Hannah Turner, they're both 16, still in high school. Really yeah, inspiring.
How old are you?
Oh, I'm 19.
19.
Yeah, not in school. But they're incredible. And basically, you know, all coming from the suburbs, we were really inspired to get people from the suburbs more involved in, you know, art and things that people in the city have more access to. Mm-hmm. So that was why we were inspired to do art shows and work like that. And going forward, we're trying to do, you know, live band shows and things like that, and really focus on having diverse lineups, which doesn't really happen in Vancouver, especially in like the punk scene and whatever.
Yeah, it's true. It's, I mean, it's a problem everywhere, not just
the yes scene. Yeah,
CITR.
Yeah, and in you know, gallery spaces, yeah, and yeah, art and blah blah blah. But that's, you know, just kind of a very general like art collective that encompasses music and performance and writing and all these different media in kind of a space online and in real life. So, you know, that's kind of something that we always welcome people into if they want to do it. It's called Elastic Collective. Yes. And we started that pretty recently as well, like I think in April or something. Wow. I don't know. I can't even remember, but...
Oh, I also saw something I was asking about, School of Doodle. Can you tell me about School of Doodle?
So, School of Doodle is... God, I've been involved for probably a year now.
Nice.
And basically it was founded by... this woman called Molly Logan. She's amazing. She's like such a good friend of mine, and she's my boss. And she just wanted to create a space for girls to, you know, be able to turn their passions into profession and kind of get mentorship from relevant artists and in industries that people are interested in, and give them actual, like, monetary funding and wow, inspiration and shit like that. So when I came onto the project, I wasn't out yet, and I initially got hired, to do creative direction for their first campaign, and that went really well, but as they went on, you know, we kind of found, again, with the same thing with intersections, the same thing with what you guys are doing at CITR, like, the issue of, inclusivity, and the fact that we've all been brainwashed to think that everything's either for boys or for girls. Like, there's people who are also not mm-hmm. in that. So then, you know, that issue was brought up, especially when I came out as non-binary or whatever. I was kind of like, this can't just be a thing for girls. So we're trying to sort of yeah. rebrand it as well into something yeah. that is accepting to gender non-conforming people. But yeah, it's kind of, everyone finds it difficult to kind of put their finger on, because it's a lot of things. But it's international, it's got a lot of support, it's growing really, really fast. And I think, just for me, it's really cool to be able to have something so DIY and really kind of small, like Elastic, mm-hmm. going on, and then also be able to be part of something that's really quite big and growing. But yeah, anyone who is a girl or gender nonconforming or femme or whatever, you guys are more than welcome to get involved, and you can hit me up, or you can email me at re@schooldoodle.com if you want to get involved, literally in anything.
No.
Art submissions, nice. Just, you know, attending events, whatever you want, so.
So what kind of music have you been listening to? I guess we'll just finish with that.
Well, I mean, like everyone, like a lot of Princess Nokia.
Yeah, so good.
Been really into Odeko. Been really into, I really like a lot of grime stuff, mm-hmm. and a lot of like the new kind of more experimental stuff that's coming out. Mm-hmm. I like the new project that Mr. Mitch and Odeko came out with. I like, oh god, there's a lot of like weird like deconstructed club music that I listen to that's just kind of floating around on SoundCloud that mm-hmm. isn't really yeah. being produced by anyone that's well known, but it's like yeah. random and cool.
Yeah.
And really love Unique. She does like Jersey Club and like just insane production. She's incredible. And Jubilee. I love what Chippy does. Chippy mm-hmm. has really great taste. She like co-produces things, and she raps and she writes, and she's great. And I like to listen to my friends' music. We're yeah. all kind of beginners, and we're still
yeah, that's the
learning, but we all have
what your friends are doing. Yeah.
Yeah, and we all kind of have good ideas. I think we just have to, like, you know, learn more and mm-hmm. be able to have spaces like intercessions where we can kind of just make mistakes and not feel bad about it because, mm-hmm. you know, there's all this extra kind of pressure.
Learning. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. But I don't know. I definitely listen to a lot more than that. I'm just, like,
no, it's
anxious,
okay.
but...
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just finish this off by letting listeners know where can we find you in intercessions. And...
Cool. So... Intercessions on Instagram is just at intercessions, and then on Twitter it's at inter and then underscore sessions, and Chippy runs the Twitter and she's hilarious, she's like such a funny character, and then I do the Instagram most of the time, and then we also have Facebook, which is just intercessions. You can contact us intercessions@gmail.com, and we're having our third Vancouver workshop on the 25th of this month at Redgate Art Society, so we're pretty excited about that.
Our Redgate be there.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll have it kind of all on social media. I'll have it on my social media. I'm at ReBlossom. So hit me up if you want to get involved in any of the projects that have been really vaguely mentioned. I'd love to kind of connect or meet with anyone. And, yeah, and then, you know, Chippy is Chippy Nonstop on everything, basically, and Ainsley is Shy Daughter. Those guys are great to follow. We just brought on Kathy Suarez from L.A., because she runs the L.A. sessions, and she's amazing. So even if you live in Vancouver, I highly recommend, you know, connecting with her. Mm-hmm. Her social media is Heliconia, and she's incredible, really, really lovely person. Yeah, I think that's about it. We're kind of just floating around the internet. And in Vancouver, you know, everything's so small. I'm sure if you kind of just ask yeah. around, you'll figure something out.
True.
But yeah, everyone's welcome. The only thing I would say is that RSVPs usually fill up pretty quick, so
get
on it when we launch the event, which will be very soon.
Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening.
So I hope you enjoyed that cat, Olive, and then Ree, of course. Like Ree said, the next intercessions will be next Friday, November 25th at Redgate. So if you're looking to sign up for that, find it on Facebook. Hopefully the RSVP hasn't filled up yet. We're going to take another little break, and once we get back, we'll be joined by Stella, who's going to play us a mix.
Media Democracy Days brings together media makers, activists, and educators to celebrate independent media and social change. Media Democracy Days is happening this year at the Central Branch of the Vancouver Public Library on November 15th and 16th. The event includes a community radio takeover of the Inspiration Lab on the 15th and 16th at the Central Branch of the Vancouver Public Library, and a full day of hands-on workshops, discussions, and collaboratively determined events on November 19th at SFU Vancouver's Harbour Centre campus. This year's keynote speaker is Ryan McMahon of the Red Man Laughing podcast. The event is free to attend. Visit 2016.mediademocracydays.ca for a full program.
My name's Chris Horrific.
He always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it, Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
That was a really great PSA. Anyway, today we're joined by a very special guest, Stella B, a.k.a. Bunny Bear, a.k.a. 604 Sky Dog, who's
What's
a local
up?
DJ. Stella, tell us about you.
Well, I just started DJing this year, but I've been very inspired by electronic music for a long time. My mom went to school for audio engineering, and I always thought that was really cool. My aunt was a psytrance DJ.
Wow, I
didn't even
know that.
In Goa in the 90s. Yeah, so a lot of
Goa.
Yeah, right? All over, like Israel, Mexico. Like
what?
She like toured. She worked with a lot of really good psytrance DJs. So basically, like, yeah, females being involved in electronic music is like something that's I've been surrounded by
life,
for a long time.
Yeah.
So I was on the radio actually with my mom for the first 10 years of my life. We had a show on Co-op Radio called The Broken Record Show. So sourcing out music and like just having like an inventory of like music that's like really personal and like true to yourself is like something that I've always liked to do. So this year I kind of started making mixes just for myself, posted some on SoundCloud, and then I got involved with my friend Megan Henderson, aka DJ Donini, shout outs. Mm-hmm. And we started mixing at our house. I kind of like learned the basics of how to use turntables and CDJs. We both had these really old CDJs from 1997, like CDJs 100s, which are the first ones ever made, I'm pretty sure. And so she bought one, and then I acquired one from my aunt, actually. So I brought it over, and we started mixing, and we were like, this is fun. Like, we're having a lot of fun.
Oh,
like,
just
we
this year?
Yeah.
We brought it over for, sorry, where are you from again?
Oh, no, I brought it over from Vancouver.
Oh,
I'm from the Kootenays, though.
Kootenays, okay.
Yeah. So, so we were like, let's have a party. So we threw a party in my backyard. It was called Sun Solutions.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
We like set up the turntables and the CDJs like on the back balcony of my house. We had the yard down below. So like the DJ booth was raised up and everybody was like down below in the yard partying. And it was really cool. And then Soledad from Gennaro Sound was there and she was like, yo, I really dig what you guys are doing. And she kind of like stepped in as like a mentor for us a little bit. And then She was planning on leaving at the time. Like, she was going to go down to California for school. And she was like, there's, like, we kind of just felt like there's, like, a void that was going to appear after she left. And she was like, you guys need to, like, you guys are the future of, like, female DJs in Vancouver. And it was a really exciting and inspiring time for us. So we did a couple shows. I went traveling to Berlin in the UK and did some record digging there and was like,
nice.
Really excited by the process of just like going to a record store and
yeah.
like picking out records that I think are cool and like listening to them being like, yeah, that's the one. And it's
yeah,
like,
it's a good feeling when you go and you just like stumble upon something.
Yeah, totally. It's something that I for me personally, like the type of music that I like, I find that that sort of experience is kind of missing from living in the city. Like, it was really incredible going to Europe and going to the UK because they just had like the genres that I was so passionate about, like drum and bass and like garage. And
it's true, it's a bit limited.
And house and
like,
techno.
You go to Beat Street and that's kind of a
I mean, it's you gotta dig for sure,
for
whereas
sure.
like you go to a place like Europe, it's all there and it's easy.
Sometimes
I go to Neptune Records, actually they have a really
true.
Good bargain bin. Yes. And I find they're like $2 dance records and
so
so we did some parties this summer. We did High Fashion. We did, I can't remember the name of all of them, but we did this one. We did a really amazing party called Jungle in the Jungle.
Yeah, I was
where we
ask
played.
You about that.
Yeah, we played all drum and bass tracks and jungle tracks, and it was a lot of fun.
And where was it?
It was in Stanley Park. Yeah, a renegade party.
It was a good time.
Don't want to say too much more
about
it.
That's good. It's cool. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So recently I got into producing a little bit just with my MIDI keyboard that I have at home, and unfortunately it broke. I'm not sure if it broke, but it won't work anymore. So I'm kind of at a standstill right now as far as making music mm-hmm. goes. So anybody who wants to help a dog
out. Don't help a dog. Oh, yeah. So how'd you come up with 604 Sky Dog,
okay.
that alias?
So there is a story behind it. I used to work at a dispensary called mm-hmm. Farm Dispensary. Shout out to Farm.
Okay. Of course you did.
Yeah. And
I once saw Stella walking the tiniest dog by Farm.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Where are you going? The Farm, of course.
I was, dog sitting for a friend. But that was great. I just, like, took her from, like, my friend's house to her work and just, like, had this tiny little dog in my pocket, like walked
adorable.
Across town. But yeah, so when we worked there, we all had nicknames for each other, and they were like our code names, and they're all based on weed strains. So basically we'd like research you know, we had sort of like general product knowledge of like what the strains were like and what their effects were, what their like lineage was. So we kind of used that as like, you know, archetypes of our personalities. Nice. And we like matched them to everybody. Like it was kind of like a group project, like everybody did it. So I got Sky Dog because that was a weed strain that I think it has some like OG Kush qualities. So it's like a very like classic chill strain. And I knew probably the most about like weed and weed production than anybody else at the shop did. I mean, they'll tell you the same thing. I'm not
nice. That's just sweet. That's funny.
But yeah, so they're like, yeah, it's the OG. Stella's the OG Kush master. So I got Sky Dog, and then it just stuck. We were like, my friend and I were trying to figure out DJ names, and that was, And then 604 Sky Dog is just kind of like on Instagram, like needed to add some numbers to it because Sky Dog was taken. It was like messaging Sky Dog accounts on Instagram that like hadn't been active in a year. And I'm like, I need this.
I'm
like,
Sky stop. Dog. I'm the OG.
You're not even using it. Like, you don't deserve it.
I hate that. That's the worst, actually. Yeah. You're like, no, this is the name and you don't use this.
Excuse me. Like,
should get voided.
Yeah.
So I guess, what do you think of the scene here in Vancouver, the music scene?
Yeah,
like, what keeps you here? Or do you want to leave? What's that?
In the summertime, it was really exciting. There's lots of people who we had wanted to work with and like we ended up working with, and it was really cool and fun. Like Bobby Drano and D Tiffany, like they're awesome. Love those guys. So that was really cool and fun. I think like one of our favorite venues that we used to play at a lot this summer, Skylight, just closed down recently. Mm-hmm. And so they were really good for like kind of giving like younger up and coming DJs a platform to play. And now that it's closed, I find that like the parties that I go to are like, it's a bit more of established like artists and stuff. But there's still people I really look up to and they're still super supportive and like love having them around, like feel really lucky to know them. As far as the actual like sound is, I feel like the music that I listen to that's come out of Vancouver, like stuff on Pacific Rhythm and Mood Hut, like I'm really impressed by how well they've like embodied this spirit of like West Coast living. Like I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like it's just you listen to the music and you're like it's that sound.
Yeah,
like,
it's
that West Coast sound. And they've done like all those guys have done great internationally and they're like really killing it. And I hope that I can like get to that level someday. But I mean, financially and like I'm just kind of at a standstill right now and I'm hoping to I think it's just my own sort of fault, like I need to like reach out more, but
that happens. Everyone takes a break and chills and like, you know, life.
Shout out to Thomas Gall, just got a message from him, and shout out to John Lottman listening from Berlin.
In
the morning.
That's rad.
Thanks everybody.
Awesome. Way to be. Look at you, already international.
Berlin is really cool though. I hung out with Hashman DJ, Jack J, PLO man. We broke into a art school grad party in at the university there. Climbed a window like Spider-Man style and like snuck in through this tiny little
Sounds like you're a nice.
Yeah.
Elsie's like, yes, Elsie's from the
UK. International dog.
So can you tell us a little about the mix you have for us today?
Yeah, for sure.
To play?
So it's real short. I'm just gonna sort of close out the show with the mix because we don't have a whole lot of time. So the first half of the mixes are my tracks that I finished working on recently. They're called Elementary, Software Update, and Spicy Boy. And then
great names.
Thanks. And then the other half of the tracks are, I tried to stick with female and Canadian-based content. So there's not many tracks. There's only like four or so because I don't know how much time we have. But there's Ramsey, who I also hung out with in Berlin. She's really great.
Nice.
From Montreal. Via App is a female artist on 1080p. Jump Source, I think, I'm not sure if the artists themselves are Canadian, but the label's ASL Single Clubs is Canadian. And the song that I'm going to be playing by them is off their upcoming EP, which I bought digital copy on Bandcamp, and that song is it's a pre-order. So the rest of the EP is coming out on December 5th, and it's called Guide to Action by Jump Source. So I guess I'll start off by playing some of my songs.
All right, take it away, Hayo. All right.
Thank you.
Stella, thanks so much for giving us that exclusive radio debut of some of your songs. So find you at soundcloud.com/604skydog, right?
Bet. And I didn't get to play all the tracks that I wanted to play because we were short on time. But hopefully Tyler Fedchuk will have me on his show soon. I can do a longer mix. He's on Radio Zero, so check him out on Fridays.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. See you all next week. Next up is the show, Are You Aware?